Hi, I'm Rick.
I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm Jake.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
In each episode,
we're going to talk about everything from growing up queer in the South
to the issues affecting our community today.
With a little bit of fabulous sprinkled in along the way.
Join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of queer joy.
Mixed in with the occasional bitch fest.
But always served
with the spiciest tea.
Hi, Magnolias.
Hello, hi, everyone.
Well, we're down a Jake tonight. I'm going to go ahead and dive in and get us started so we can talk about this little topic of ours that we've been ruminating on for the past couple of weeks.
I will say before you do that, so last time, Dan, when you were out, Rick had to drink for you. So that aww, means you have to drink for Jake tonight.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? I'll make a concerted effort.
We have all the faith in the world in you.
Girl.
See, I love that. Togetherness.
See?
We got your back. And your bourbon.
Yay.
So, Rick, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, tonight we are diving deep into the art of navigating the oh-so-straight spaces. And by that, I mean family gatherings, workplace encounters. We're talking, obviously, school, bars, church. Nothing's off limits tonight.
Big five, sporting goods stores.
Yes, exactly. And the big D, too. Don't forget the big D.
Florsheim.
Yes. That's what I mean, yes.
That's exactly what you mean. Definitely starts with a D.
So, grab your compass, ladies. We're about to slog our way through it. So, off we go.
The dangerous place. Take a nap. Take a map.
What do you say? Hide your husband, hide your...
Yeah, hide your kids, wife. Hide your wife. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Except so, with us, you don't have to hide the wife.
Or the children.
Or the children.
Yeah, right? You just keep them at home.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that you brought up the big one, I think, for most of us, for all of us, I think, little growing up queer children, school, public school, private school, Dan, private school, like Christian school, school is hard. There is no queer school that you can go to. I mean, outside of maybe like that school in Fame where people go to study theater.
I was about to say, there are the school of the arts.
Well, true, or... if you have Auntie Mame for an aunt, then maybe you go somewhere fun.
Exactly. Well, I mean, let's also not forget in Fame, there was only one gay student in the entire school. Somehow that worked out.
It was shot a little too early.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
You know, I think one of the things that I thought of is, you know, not to drill down on any one particular place, but I think we all have to have an internal mechanism to tell us when we're comfortable and when we're not. And when we're not comfortable and we're in a place that we can take ourselves out of, then I think it's important. You know, there are times to stay and fight, and there are times where it's like, yeah, this isn't right now, is not working for me. And maybe you retreat and yeah, you come back at it and fight again later on. I think for me, a big thing was always and still remains is my comfort level. You know, there are times where I've not been comfortable and I went with allies and friends, and then I was comfortable because I had someone to go with. But I'm a big believer in, if that little voice says not now, I'm like, okay, I'm right there with you.
Uh-huh. Not today, Satan.
Right?
Well, it's funny you say that. And as I was sort of seeing and thinking about this today and sort of how I wanted to approach this, for me, I thought about, it just kind of hit home for me that I change a little bit when I get off the plane in North Carolina. Mm. It's different being here in Southern California, in Los Angeles. And, you know, when I first arrived in LA, I made a decision that I was going to live my life out. I was not going to be in the closet for anybody. I was out in every job that I've had up to this point. But now when I go back home to North Carolina, and I don't know if it's that conditioning that as a child that I went through, but the moment I step off the plane, I feel myself change a little bit.
Stand a little straighter. Yeah.
You have to put your pants on and take that dress off. I mean, it's okay, honey. Don't you worry.
I opted for the flats instead of the kitten heel. Exactly.
Biscuit slappers, honey.
Right. I do think though that, you know, when we revisit places that we might have had trauma, and I'm not saying you had trauma, but you know, where there was a huge expectation on us, I do think sometimes it's one of those things that, you know, you catch your breath and you say, oh, this place again, and then maybe you do approach it in a slightly different way.
I think too, like, there's a lot to be said for the difference in approaching places like that as an adult and like when you're a kid. Because when you're a kid, like Dan, you were just saying, like your comfort level. When you're a kid, a lot of those places, you don't have the option to get up and walk out.
No, that's right. Very true. Yeah. That's very, very true. I know that there were places that we would go when I was growing up. And, you know, I just wasn't comfortable. I tried to make myself as comfortable as possible. But, you know, something I know as an adult that I did not know as a child, there is something you can do with your mind sometimes where you sort of go to the bathroom, take a moment to, you know, sort of get yourself centered and together. Yeah. You know, as a child, you don't know that that's a possibility. You're sort of thrown into it.
So what she's really doing is nipping in the bathroom. She's got that little flask in her purse now as an adult.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you got to get your jolly where you get your jolly, sugar. I might have done it in the bathroom a time or two, hon. No, the flask, I mean, the flask.
George Michael.
Done it in the bathroom, honey.
More than once.
What it's there for.
But I think I would probably say one of the venues that I tend to butch it up more, I guess, if you will, are sporting events. So when I'm at sport, yes, it happens.
Butch it up, Lord. Oh, no. You don't really want to talk about sports, Rick. I've taken you to many professional games. You don't butch it up. Trust
me. Here's the thing, Dan. You are someone who I would never think enjoys sports, but there you are. You love to go.
Stands.
Like,
yes, honey. Drink beer, eat peanuts,
You know what I love, though, is hockey. And I was actually really shocked and surprised at how much I love hockey. And I think it's just all those guys just beating each other up and throwing each other around. It kind of works for me.
Wrestling the parking lot.
Well, wrestling.
See. Now, so of all the sports, that's one I won't go to. I won't go to wrestling. I won't go to wrestling. And I'm not fond of boxing. Boxing doesn't do it for me. But I will say that, honestly, wrestling is a sport I would not go to. And I probably wouldn't go to, like, I don't want to say a drag race, but like the Indianapolis 500 or the Coca-Cola 500 in Charlotte. That I don't do. But baseball, football, basketball, hockey, I'm all in.
You know what else surprised me sports-wise was MMA. I went to cover an MMA event a few years ago down in Anaheim, and I had the best fucking time. I think there's a through line here, right, with people beating each other up, maybe.
I think you had the best time on MDMA, which is a little different.
George, I think you might be right about that.
Madonna. I know what you meant.
I went to a NASCAR event this year.
Okay.
It was a work thing. We got invited because they wanted to be more inclusive.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was definitely where you like band together and you're like, oh, NASCAR. I mean,
everybody elbow and elbow, and like no one goes to the bathroom alone.
No, right? no man left behind, honey. And
no,
I will
queen
say,
left behind either, honey.
I will say this: it was like, it really and truly was like going to North Carolina without buying a plane ticket.
it's a very different world.
Yeah,
you know, car racing is really a breed in and of itself. It's I. okay, it's just not for me. Horse racing, on the other hand, I'm all in for that too, because I love horse racing.
That's because there's a lot of drinking involved in that. It's very posh. Yes, it's sitting around.
Hats. Big hats and cocktails. She's in.
I'm totally in for that. So.
I think, Rick, going back to what you're saying about going home, like I went home a couple months ago for the first time in a long time, and I went out with my brother. We went out to a bar, obviously a straight bar. We weren't going to go to a gay bar. I feel like they're kind of getting hard to find in North Carolina, gay bars.
They are.
Slenderizing.
They indeed are. And I do know this about myself is while I would, okay. So before I had this hair color, I had pink hair. But before I went home to North Carolina, I let that pink kind of wash out so that it was just kind of blonde with roots. And that's, I was like, I'm not going to refresh the pink to go to North Carolina. But other than that, I really feel like I was pretty genuine to who I always am. Like, I bet you can't hide this light under a bushel basket. You
come just- on, girl. Come on.
Okay, that might be one of my most favorite sayings ever.
So, you know, I went and we had a great time and there was really no problem. And, you know, it was very straight. I mean, if they say one out of every 10's a queer, I couldn't have told you which ones of the other 10's there were. But,
oh, I probably could have.
I bet you could have.
We had fun. We had a lot of fun. I didn't have any problem. And I do not think that I really tried to butch it up.
Well, you did send us a photo of you with a hat on backwards.
I did do that.
And I was like, well, only George could wear a hat like that and get away with it.
Off to the side with a feather.
Uh-huh. It was, you know, it became my...
And an Easter lily in it.
Bitch.
Right, here we go with that Easter lily. Uh-huh.
And then we ate some chicken and pastry.
Oh, hell no.
You know, yeah, honestly, you're right. I did wear a baseball cap backwards. I was out of wear tank top. It was summer. It was July. It was North Carolina. And I wore shorts. I mean, I wore like 4-inch inseam shorts, but I wore shorts, you know, and like... It became a joke that it was like my North Carolina drag. Like, this is like, I'm going to wear a baseball cap and sit in.
So the fact that you were with your brother, though, I think that that's a big thing because, you know, you had an ally, you had someone that sort of made you comfortable. I was thinking back to when I was in college, I worked with this woman named Shirley. She was about 6'1 or 6'2, blonde Amazonian woman. And every week, it was Wednesday or Thursday, she used to go to this bar in downtown Greenville called The Attic. Back in the day, The Attic was on the tour of every rock and roll band that toured this country. Oh, sure. I mean, AC/DC, Kiss, the Pointer Sisters, Linda Ronstadt, everybody under the sun, except Frank Sinatra, I guess, played at The Attic. So it was really hardcore. And Shirley, for the longest time, she'd say, oh, come on and go with me, Danny. You should come. We'd have such a good time. And I pulled her aside one day and I said, Shirley, I'm going to be honest with you. This place scares the shit out of me. And she said, you know what? If you go with me one time, you'll go every week. And I did. But, you know, it wasn't that Shirley knew everybody, but she knew enough of bodies that she could introduce me around. And she didn't have any problem telling people, this is my gay friend that I work with. But there she opened the door.
Yeah.
Whereas I think I don't think I'd have ever gone in on my own.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I needed an ally and Shirley was that ally. So I think that, you know, when you went with your brother, that's your ally.
Sure. And my brother's a bartender, so he knew the bartender, he knew the DJ. Right. Like, you know, it's the same
thing.
You
got a good drink. People. You got a good drink.
Absolutely. Absolutely, honey. Got that bill, and I was like, wow, things are much cheaper in North Carolina.
Oh, so I should tell you that the reason Shirley used to say, come go with me, is because they had 50 cents rolling rocks. Beer.
And oh, when I got, Lord, not so the rolling even, rock. We've heard the rolling even, rock story.
Well, but you know, I came here to Los Angeles and Rolling Rock is like a delicacy. I'm like, that's nasty fish water. No. Rolling Rock, we'd still like a sponsorship if you don't mind. I'll say you were really great.
After that.
You just ruined that, honey.
Oh, no, it's the best beer I've ever had in my life. Hit Patreon now.
I'll edit it out. It's I agree with you, George. So I have, when I've gone back to North Carolina to visit, I've gone out with family members. And, you know, one of my cousins, she loves a good honky-tonk. And she has dragged me to quite a few boots and spur events. And, like, whew, it was something else. But you know what? I think it was different being with her in that. She made me enjoy it, and she knew I was gay, and she, you know, so there was never that.
Oh, well, she knew.
You know, yeah. And,
I mean, he didn't butch it up that day.
Honky-tonk, honey.
Yeah. So, but we...
He was looking the bull to ride. Where's my bull?
She would dance with guys and look over at me and just be like, him? Do you like him? And I'm like, no, stop. That was Jesus.
No, but yes.
Turn it around. I can't see. Lot.
Exactly.
So one of the things also is, for me, I know that when I navigate some straight places, I'm not there to demonstrate. I mean, if that's what you want to do.
It's a great point, actually. Right.
There are all different kinds of levels, and I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just talking about myself. I try to remember that when I'm navigating a place that is not my home.
Yeah.
And that being, this is not my tribe. I think I have to say, how much do I want to expose myself? Do I have an agenda? Most of the time, my agenda is having a good time wherever I go. I mean, if we're going to fight, I'm not intending on having a good time. And I'm not going in your space to fight. We're going to have to do it in the parking lot because, you know, I've seen Law and Order. I ain't going in there. But my thing is, you know, for instance, church. I used to go home and occasionally I'd go with my dad. And this church was a huge Bible-thumping church. And everybody there believed I was going straight to hell in a handbasket in the express lane, but I was going with my dad. So I honored the fact that this was his church. It certainly was not mine. And I could stomach some of it. And then if it got too bad, I just have to go to the bathroom, step out for a minute, you know?
Girl, how long was this church service?
Oh, honey, it's Baptist, an hour or two. You know, that shit.
Didn't they need to line up down at the
Piggly Wiggly?
Down at the creek.
No, no, I was going to say the Cracker Barrel, honey. The Cracker Barrel.
I don't know. It's just.
But you're right. Actually, I went home a couple years ago for my aunt's funeral, and they had the funeral at the church that I grew up in, and I have not been. I'm not a religious person. We won't get into all that, but I hadn't been in that church in many, 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 many years. And so honoring her, I decided that I would go. And I was so uncomfortable the entire time that I was there. I could not relax because I think it was a combination of being in a space that I didn't want to be in, combined with all the stuff that I like it remembered from my childhood, being around people that I was not comfortable around. I was just waiting for any minute for them to start, you know, sort of pointing and screaming at me like I was turning into some kind of demon or monster or something.
Witch!
Lighting the bonfire, Georgia. Me and you, we saw it, hon. Light the bonfire. There she is.
And I was just waiting for that. And it was just the most uncomfortable I'd ever been. And once the service was over inside and it moved outside, I instantly felt better once we were outside the door. But as soon as the service at the gravesite was over, I got in the car and everybody else was just mingling around and talking. And I just went and sat in the car and my mom did her thing with all the family members and everybody. And I was just like, I need to be in the car with the windows up,
leaning on the horn. Come on, old woman.
Beep, beep, beep. We're bitch. Going.
We're going now.
Mama needs a drink.
Well,
You know, I think, Dan, that you brought up two very important things. I mean, you talked about exposing yourself, and I think that's why you can't go back to Tuscaloosa. And also the fact
that's Rick. That... Rick can't go to Tuscaloosa. I can.
And I think the idea of like having an
no
in,
comment.
Having an in, you know, having someone like I had my brother and you went with your friend and Rick went to church with his mom and that still didn't work, but that's Rick. And but it also
But I also went out with my cousin and that worked.
And that worked. Right, exactly. And I think that that is really the key because you're being invited to a space, you know? Yeah. And I think that also works the other way around is when they want to come into our spaces and then we can be their guide or their link so that they will have a better time than just some random straight girl showing up at a gay bar and all the guys are like, what are you doing here? You know?
Bachelorette party.
Yeah. Oh, girl.
But it's interesting. Because I worked as a bartender, I am more comfortable in bars than any other space, right? And it's because I kind of learned very early on as a bartender, if you're going in as a patron, the first thing you need to do is win over the bartender. Nobody else in the fucking place matters. You have to win over the bartender. If you win the bartender, you're going to have the best time of your life that night. And so that's what I sort of put my focus on when I go to places like this. And you win over bartenders by being nice and you talk to them and you tip.
Yeah.
You tip well. And you know, you engage them in conversation. If they're busy, they're not going to want to sit and talk to you all night long. So you just got to be quick. But you got to sort of, if you can warm up to a bartender, the bartender will make sure you are taken care of in just about any space you go to.
Y'all know what Dave and Buster's is?
I do.
Okay. I wish Jake was on this episode because this is a Jake and I story from back when we first started going out. One of his friends in Alhambra. What's that mall, Dan, that's over by the racetrack that's out there?
Yeah, Baldwin. Not Baldwin Hill, but it's on Baldwin. Yeah,
it's over there by the whatever that racetrack is that's over there.
Santa Anita.
Thank you.
Santa Anita Mall.
There we go. So there's a Dave and Buster's there, and a friend of his was having his birthday at that party.
Oh, Lord. How old is this friend? 12?
So, you know,
don't answer that.
We are newly together, and I'm like, oh, I'll go and be supportive and meet your friends. Yeah, I'll go to the Santa Anita Mall in whatever city that is. Santa Anita, maybe? I don't know.
I already love where this is going.
and to Dave and Buster's, you know, at nighttime to a birthday party for a 20-whatever-year-old. And play video games because God knows there's nothing I love more than that.
Yeah, right. Or driving the go-kart things that don't move. You just, you know,
George doesn't drive, so
George doesn't drive. You know what George does do? George drinks. So George sat at that bar and George got real drunk.
Praise the Lord.
And Jake got real drunk. And then George and Jake made out like crazy people at Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's. And then
got asked by the bartender to tone it down because there were children in the place. And I said, I didn't invite them here.
That was not my doing, Mr. Bartender.
I'm not going to let that impede my good time.
Well,
it is a bit of an embarrassing story because we were out of control with the making out. It was stupid.
It was new, and I
you know how you said you don't want to go into a place and like a place place and don't want to make a statement, or you don't really want to go in there to like change my
act up.
Yeah, I was on a mission to protest, I think, that night, and I wish that I hadn't done that. But
had a little liquid encouragement.
I had a lot of encouragement, and one of the few regrets that I have.
Well,
ridiculous.
So here is a wonderful thing because the two of you have made it through, but we all know because it's a person we've talked about more than one time. Matthew Shepard didn't make it through. Yeah. So there are those, and it's sad that you have to say, oh, you know, the bartender said this because there are children here. You know what? We have all been a child at some point. I mean, as long as you weren't having full-on sex on the bar, I mean, making out is not a, it's not really that bad of a thing. And we're in the comment place now.
And for me, though, the comment is fine as long as you would also say it to straight couples.
Oh, absolutely. That's my,
if you would say the same thing to a straight couple, I have no problem with it. If you're saying it just because I'm gay, then we got an issue.
Yeah.
And you know, I said that. You know, this mouth just wasn't going to just take it lying down.
When that mouth wasn't busy, you had a lot to say, didn't you?
Right, huh? Exactly.
I love that.
And you know, they said no. Like, if there was a man and a woman who were engaged as heavily as we were, then they would have said the same thing.
Was this Bobert style engagement? There was tell with that expression that it might have been.
There was no groping. There was just a lot of
kissing, intimacy, darling. You know, yeah. And that's a lovely thing. Once again, it was new and fresh.
It was ridiculous.
Well,
you can just live with the knowledge that you are now infamous in wherever, Alhambra.
Right? You know what? Yeah, exactly.
They probably got your photos posted up somewhere.
That's right.
I want one of those little plaques from like the One Archives that goes up at this Dave and Buster's and says this was the site of George and Jake's make kiss out. In. Exactly. We held a kiss in. Yeah.
That's hilarious. What did the friend say? I want to know.
I don't fucking remember. I don't know.
And this George was, did not go back to another one of his birthday parties.
I did not. I
that's
did
okay.
not.
And you know what that's
also not been to another Dave and Buster's since.
Well, and so, you know, one nice thing, though, is you have learned that Dave and Buster's is your line in the sand that you never need to repeat again. So I support the fact that you know that now. Dave and Buster's is out. Rolling Rock is out. Dave and Buster is out, you know. We ought to find somebody else to.
Rick's Home Church is out. We're not going
that's
back
right.
there.
That's right. See,
any place in Alabama is also out. We're not going to talk about that.
I think you've also mentioned that Michigan is out because I keep trying to get
no,
you to.
No, Michigan
to
is not out. I will never go back to Detroit ever.
Oh, because it's haunted.
Right. Yes, it is. Oh, I do have a haunt. Did I tell the haunted
yeah,
story?
Yeah, I know your haunted story. Yeah.
Four times. Don't bring it up, George. Well, I like.
I won't do it. I'm gonna do it.
He put his face in it almost.
Right. Right.
Oh, that was another haunting. That was in Florida. Oh, Lord.
I do think, though, that, you know, sort of to bring it back to where we started, I do think what a wonderful thing to have allies. Yeah. And to be able to say, hey, look, you know, I'm not comfortable in this space. Yes, I'll go with you if, you know, if you're going to be an ally. Or you say to an ally, hey, let's do something else. Because we have, Rick and I have all three of us have a friend, Cynthia, that she went to the Bullet with us one time. And they were showing some informational videos on the screens that were perhaps a little more information than
detailed,
she needed to
very
know.
Very detailed information.
Right.
Well, so, I'm sure it involved how to save someone from choking, right?
Well, yes, and there was something
or,
with the traffic
sure.
cone, but anyway.
Right. Oh, say oh, like traffic safety.
Yeah, traffic safety, right? That's right. So you know,
driver's head.
She won't go back there again. But then we choose other places to go. You know, and I think that's the thing. You know, it's where we feel most comfortable. Me, as long as there's a bar, I'm comfortable.
I did a fundraiser in that bar that I invited coworkers to, forgetting that they had instructional videos and yeah.
That was the same night Cynthia went for the first and only time.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but it was a lovely fundraiser. We raised a lot of money for your bike ride. Was that?
You sure did.
ALC, is that right?
ALC, yes. You sure did, because I showed up that afternoon to set up for this thing, and the manager on duty didn't seem the bartender on duty didn't know anything about it. The manager showed up and then started asking me if I had all these different things that no one told me to have, And it just started to spiral from there. And then I went out on the sidewalk and I called Dan, and I'm like, one of those rare instances where I actually made a phone call versus a text. Right. And I am melting down on that fucking sidewalk. And he's like, bitch, shut up and turn around. I turn around and he and, was it Gregory, Greg. I think? Yeah. We're climbing out of a car and full on drag. They had everything they needed, and the fundraiser at that point, I was like, all right, I'm gonna let go and I'm gonna let the goddesses, right? And it just turned into one of the most successful fundraisers I think I've ever done.
And I can honestly
say all that, because of Dan.
Oh, thank you, that's very kind of you. But I can honestly say that that was probably the sexiest nurse on earth. That's all I got to say about that. I mean, I look good as a nurse with a stethoscope.
She was checking all the temperatures.
I don't like this story. I don't like this story. Because I'm not in it. I'm not in it. So it's
now you're not comfortable. I see how this is. All right. Well, the proctologist nurse is in. So is in session.
Well, a nickel examination.
I've done more for a nickel than I'd hate to admit.
Okay, Lucy.
Exactly.
Oh, speaking of Lucy.
Speaking of,
is she calling?
She is definitely calling. I feel like my ice cubes are dry, and whether it's a straight space or a gay space, that will not do.
No, ma'am. It's time to put some liquid in my refreshment.
Amen.
I was going to it's time to put some liquid into my diet.
Well, totes agree with that. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We had a great time, and let us know if you feel comfortable and not comfortable in spaces, and tell us your thoughts on how to make yourself comfortable in a space that you might not be comfortable in.
I think the takeaway from all this is, if you're uncomfortable in a straight space, just start making out with some random gay guy. They'll ask you to leave.
Or you can wrestle in the parking lot. That always
do that too.
I'll have another drink. I'll be right back.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Queer Magnolias podcast. We all love you and the amazing support and feedback you have given us thus far. So much we need more. We would love to hear more brilliant brainstorms from you magnificent magnolias. So we highly encourage you to be included and find/follow us at Queer Magnolias on Twitter and at Queer Magnolias Podcast on Instagram and Facebook if you haven't already. We would love to hear your comments and feedback, good or bad.
Nobody wants their bad comments. Fuck off.
And you can listen to us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, wherever the hell you're listening to us right now, or wherever you might find your podcast. All right. Until next time, Blossoms.